Blog Talk Radio.
If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
Traitor state of Indiana, where Obama's ideals are not espoused, comes the New Wise Conservatism Radio Show as a means to tell all you liberals out there that you are wrong and we are right. My name is Kathy Henners, and you're listening to Hour One of the Show, where we do what we do best, tell you what the government is doing to this great nation with Obama and his minions. We're showing you ways to stop them by following the true law of the land, the Constitution. And now, heard through ConservativeNationMedia.com, here's your host from behind the silver CNN microphone of freedom, with the voice of reason in this unreasonable world, Robert Garding.
So much good trim and pain.
Well, good afternoon, and I am Kathy Henners, and that was me. But I am Kathy Henners from DailyRollCall.com. I am filling in today for Robert Garding here on ConservativeNationMedia.com. Our number to call in is 718-305-7176. If you have any comments or questions, answers, solutions, anything that you want to talk about, give us a call. That's 718-305-7176. Hope everybody is having a good Saturday afternoon. It's beautiful, at least down here in the South. And hope wherever you are, you don't have snow. I know that it's still pretty cold up north. So, but anyway, we've got a lot to cover during this 2 hours. I know that Robert has talked to you a lot about Muslim Brotherhood issues, and he and I have talked about it a lot. The Muslim Brotherhood happens to be one of my main areas of, I won't say expertise, but of something that I talk about quite a bit and know just a little bit about. So we're going to be talking a lot today about some of the things that have come up that are all related to the Muslim Brotherhood. And, of course, for me, everything is the Muslim Brotherhood's fault. As you know, and I'm sure he has told you several times, that they are in this country. They are very deeply entrenched in this country. And so I probably don't have to tell you too much about where they are and who they are. But we're going to talk about a lot of different stories regarding the Muslim Brotherhood and their movement. The first thing, though, that I wanted to talk to you about is something that I participated in this morning. There was a convention here in Nashville at Opry, well, at the Opryland Hotel, or the Opry Inn, I'm sorry, I want to make sure I get that right. It was a convention by the Religion Communicators Council. Now, if you've never heard about them, they are a fairly large organization. It's a nationwide organization that was originally formed to bring together religious publicity representatives for the interchange of ideas, experiences, common problems, and see how they could develop together as whether you were a Christian, Jewish, Protestant. They now have members from the Hindu religion and, of course, the Muslim faith communities. So they had this big conference here in Nashville this morning. And what we have noticed in working with a gentleman by the name of Dr. Bill Warner, if you haven't read about him, you need to read about him. He has written several books on political Islam, and the best book that I have read so far is Sharia for the Non-Muslims. Excellent, excellent book. If you want to familiarize yourself with anything to do with Sharia law, which is coming here, that would be a great place to start. So he decided that a lot of churches in this country are not paying attention to the slaughter of Christians around the world. And they are being slaughtered, Christians everywhere. except for, unfortunately, so far in this country, are being massacred because of their religious beliefs. So he thought that it would be a good idea to have a silent protest, basically a voice for the voiceless. And that's what we did this morning. We went there. The intent was to speak to someone from the RCC, have them come out and to acknowledge the presence of several people that took time on Saturday morning to be there to, you know, basically protest. Their silence for such a large religious organization, there is silence about the Christians that are being slaughtered. So we had this protest. Not one member from the RCC would come out and speak. And what's really sad is that there were several Coptic Christians from Egypt that had to flee Egypt to come here to be safe so that, that you know, they weren't killed, because they are killing Coptic Christians as well across the Middle East. So they wouldn't come out. They didn't hear the statement that was read about Christians being slaughtered, which included 2 days ago, a young girl by the name of Mary, 22-year-old young girl, had a cross, as so many people do in America, a cross hanging from her rearview mirror in her vehicle, at which time she was at a red light, and a gentleman dragged her out of the car, which they then proceeded to stab her and kill her. And it was all because she had a cross in the car. So these are some things that you need to pay attention to. They may not be happening here in this country, but I can tell you with the groups that are forming in this country, such as Al-Shabaab, Boko Haram, these are extreme violent groups. A lot of them are from the African nations, you know, from Somalia and Kenya, Nigeria, and they hate you. They hate you for what you are, whether it's American or Christian. So no one is paying attention to the fact that Christians are being killed. And is it because it's not happening here? I'm not sure why this is happening, but no one is listening. And to have a religious organization such as this RCC not even come out and address the folks that were there, to just acknowledge that they were there, is disgusting. You know, the arrogance and the ignorance of people like that. So without getting too much more into that, I will say to you, you know, if you are a Christian or Jew, whatever you are, you better speak to your pastors, you better speak to your religious leaders, and ask them if they're aware of what's happening in other countries, because we are being slaughtered and nobody wants to talk about it. And if your pastor, your reverend, whatever that may be, tells you that it's something that they don't want to get into, it's too political, maybe you need to stop funding them, because this is really out of control. And it's really very sad, and it's really only a matter of time before something like this does start happening in this country. All right, enough of that for today. Something else that I wanted to talk to you about that's been in the news, but it was in the news for, and this is something I'd like to spend a little bit of time on. And again, if you have any comments, you know, please feel free to call in 718-305-7176. We've talked about before how the Muslim Brotherhood has said that they are, and I'm sure Robert has talked to you about this, how they are coming from within. And as Muammar Gaddafi once said, that they don't need bombs and guns and war to take over the UK and the US. They will come from within. Well, they are doing just that, and they are doing a stellar job. And I have to say that for an organization to be able to think that they can change a society, and the goal is to change a society in every aspect, it is just mind-boggling. I mean, most people, when you say that to them, they can't grasp that, you know, that, oh, we have the Constitution, we have, you know, the Bill of Rights, we have our penal law, we have our criminal law, we have, you know, all these things that we have been accustomed to with our, you know, with our lives here in the United States. The problem is when you have a group as organized and as patient as the Muslim Brotherhood, it has taken years for them to be entrenched in our society. And he's right. Gaddafi was right. They're not going to need to shed blood because we're giving it to them. We're allowing them to come into our country. And under the guise of the First Amendment, they are practicing their religion, which I'm not going to call it a religion. I'm not going to get into that today. It's a political way of life. But they're here. They're entrenched. As a matter of fact, one of them had made a statement, I think it was just a few months ago, that said that the goal was to see 30 Muslim governors and or mayors in this country. Well, I can't tell you the number of how many there are currently, but I can tell you that it's true. The mayor of Atlanta, Georgia, is a Muslim. There are Muslims running for office all over the country. I'm sure that wherever you are, there are Muslims on the tickets for November. And this is what you need to find out. You need to find out who's running, because they could be Republicans. They say that they are Tea Partiers. We need to know that who they are, because this is how they're coming from within. They're getting into our very infrastructure of this country. And that's what's so dangerous. All right, before we go on, conservativenationmedia.com starts off the work week every Monday in a big way. It's Inside Tennessee with Dave Vance. But even if you're not from the volunteer state, the issues that affect Tennessee are spreading all over America. Dave Vance brings his veterans' insight and the most informative guests to Inside Tennessee every Monday, so make sure to check them out. Brought to you by the Tennessee Action Council. Inside Tennessee is Mondays at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central, right here on conservativenationmedia.com, where America always wins. All right, so we're talking about, and you know what, it's kind of a depressing subject, you know, whether you're working outside or looking outside and the sun's shining, we're talking about the probable demise of a society as we know it. And a lot of people have a hard time grasping that. But when you understand the agenda and the goals of the Muslim Brotherhood, you will understand that they are very capable of doing this, and they are doing this. If you want to go to my website, dailyrollcall.com, look under documents and look for the Muslim Brotherhood Manifesto and read it. The first several pages are in Arabic. English follows. And it pretty much lays out everything that they say they're going to do and how they're going to do it. It's right there. It's their playbook. And that particular document was introduced into evidence in the 2008 trial of the Holy Land Foundation. I don't want to boggle you down too much with, you know, who and what the Holy Land Foundation was, but the fact is this document that we're going to refer to a lot today in a federal trial. So it isn't something that just comes off the internet or that somebody made up. It was evidence. It has never been disputed. They have never come out and said that it isn't so. It is their playbook. It is the playbook of the Muslim Brotherhood on their strategic goal for North America, and we just keep overlooking it. You know, I mean, it's like a football team giving you their Super Bowl plays, and everybody doesn't look at it and doesn't take it seriously. And why wouldn't you want to have that? If you want to win, you got to look at the playbook. It just doesn't make sense to me that we're so ignorant and so arrogant and so stupid. You know, we go about and we say, oh, well, the Muslims are here, but, you know, hey, they're okay. Well, it's not okay. They're taking us over. So the big thing that happened over last week, and the very dangerous thing that happened last week, was the formation of the U.S. Council of Muslim Organizations. Folks, that is a political party that they are forming. And that is what is so, so scary and so dangerous. And these are things that, I mean, you can look this up online. They have their own website, uscmo.org, the U.S. Council of Muslim Organizations. Terribly, terribly frightening stuff. And they're telling us, and we just don't pay attention to it. All right, we're going to take a quick break here. We will be back in about one and a half minutes. Stay with us.
If you're wondering where Rush goes to do his show prep, you found it.
Whether you're on active duty, a veteran, or just admire American Armed Forces, there's no better place to get the widest variety of militaria than at Highlands Militaria. Highlands Militaria is one of America's premier distributors of Fox tactical gear and outdoor products. Veteran-owned and operated, Highlands Militaria offers new and used uniforms and insignia from World War II, Korea, Vietnam, and today. With an emphasis on airborne and special operations insignia, gear, collectibles, and uniforms. If you need to replace a cherished badge or unit patch, or just want to gear up for your next outdoor adventure, go to Highlands Militaria at stores.ebay.com/Highlands-Militaria, where you'll find the best supply of the military gear you need. Shipping is always free with one-day handling time, and your satisfaction is guaranteed. Highlands Militaria at stores.ebay.com/Highlands-Militaria. And thank you for your service.
Adopting a new pet is a rewarding experience. And Shelter Pets makes super pets. Your new best friend will steal your heart, bring you happiness, and enrich your life for years to come. You can make a difference in the life of an animal. Adopt and bring home a Shelter Pet today. To find out more, visit theshelterpetproject.org. This message has been brought to you by the Humane Society of the United States, Maddie's Fund, and the Ad Council.
Okay, welcome back to the New Wives Conservatism Radio Show. I'm Kathy Henners from DailyRollCall.com, and we are here on ConservativeNationMedia.com. Thank you for joining us this afternoon, and we're pretty much talking about everything Islamic today. I know that Robert has talked to you several times about the Muslim Brotherhood and their organizations. This is something that I talk about all the time. So we had just talked about the fact that the U.S. Council of Muslim Organizations has basically started a political party. They're not calling it a political party, but when you take a look at the website, uscmo.org, you can look around there yourself and you can see pretty much what their goals are. What basically it is eight national Muslim Brotherhood groups came together and formed this national council, which will only serve to entrench themselves further in the political debate. And I think the question that begs to be asked is, why would a religion have to strive so hard to have a political attachment so that they can change the structure of this country? You know, we have lots of religious organizations here in this country. We have lots of different types of religions, but not one is as forceful and as dominant as the religion of Islam. And that is very scary. And I think that's what people need to pay attention to. And it's going unchecked. You know, right now there's probably more mosques being built in the United States than there are churches. There are more chapters of the Muslim Student Association in colleges and universities than regular good old sororities and other type civil organizations. But anyway, this Council of Muslim Organizations, they speak about the good of all people in one community. And if you go to their About Us page, the title is, Let There Be of You One Community. Well, if you know anything about the Muslim Brotherhood, the goal, the ultimate goal for the caliphate is one religion, one government, and one set of laws, which would be Sharia. So here they are talking about one community. I find that a little disturbing, but they say that community building is a core commandment for all Muslims. Okay. They say this is the value structure of the U.S. Council of Muslim Organizations, making it an instrument through which the whole community, all that is good, champion what is right and stand against what's wrong. Okay, well, you know what, on the face of it, that sounds really good. But you have to understand a lot of times when they say they want democracy, their form of democracy is not our form of democracy. If you look at over in Egypt, when they say they want democracy, it is Sharia law is their democracy, not the U.S. version of democracy. There's a big, big difference. So don't always be fooled by the name or by the word that they use, democracy. They say that this is not just talk. Council founders have already itemized more than 30 internal challenges to our community and begun enumerating their solutions. So they've taken the time to actually go through their entire communities in this country, and I don't know how many millions of them there are in this country, but they've decided that the ethnic and urban, suburban, local divisions are something that they need to come up with solutions, the youth voices that are absent from decision-making, and then they say the scant national presence of Muslim women. Well, that is just for show, and we'll talk about women a little bit more in the show when we talk about a movie called The Honor Diaries. Women are not usually in a place of power if they're under Sharia law. Sharia law allows for women to be beat by their husbands. But then it will further say, but only lightly. So this is something that, you know, this is outrageous. But they feel that other problems that they have, that many mosques, but little local and neighborhood impact, the inability to articulate Islam on a human level, and Muslim complacency in the face of mounting social problems. Well, they feel they have such problems here. And that's what is so amazing, is we have rolled out, no, we haven't, this government has rolled out the red carpet for this particular, I won't call it a religion, let's say group. They have more accommodations and more demands, and we've met those for them. And yet they continually say that they have mounting social problems. It is a, when you look at the religion of Islam, it is not something that we think of as a religion of life. And that includes politics. So here we have something that on the face of it looks like it's just going to be another Muslim organization, when in fact it is probably going to end up being a political entity. They talk about make of our children a Muslim community. The children are their future and they know it. Now, here in our country, our children were our future. However, our kids aren't involved in anything civic-minded. Now, if you look at CARE, the Council on American Islamic Relations, they have something called Game Changers, which is a civic organization that takes kids from 12 to 19 out of school for 4 months and teaches them how to be little activists, little grassroots organization activists for 4 months. That's dedication. That is total dedication. Do we have something like that? That actually, that actually takes the children and shows them the process and then dictates to them how this process needs to be changed and how to do that change, maybe we should. Maybe somebody out there should come up with our own game changers. We have to find the answers, but they're using the kids. The youth is of utmost importance in the Muslim community. And while we're out there busy playing soccer and baseball and doing all the things American, this is happening behind the scenes and nobody is paying attention. That is frightening, because in a few years, if this continues, doesn't happen. It won't be the democracy that we know. You talk about a socialist, communist ideology, you're looking at it with the Muslim Brotherhood. So it's very important to understand that they are forming what looks like another organization, but in fact is probably going to end up being a political entity. Very dangerous, and you need to take it very seriously. So look around some more on their website. Look under, you know, about us. They talk about taking counsel, amplifying your voice. It's something that they believe that everyone should know about. The U.S. Council of Muslim Organizations gives them a platform to become givers of good counsel to the neighbors and fellows, which is a religious obligation. This is something that's very important that you should pay attention to, because it's happening in schools. Dawah, D-A-W-A, is the proselytizing of Islam, and it is their obligation to tell you about their religion. What I say is their way of life, okay? But it's called dawah. And it is happening in our schools, our universities, our workplaces, our law enforcement, our military, everywhere. They are performing dawah. They go into the schools under the guise of religion, under diversity, under bullying, to spread the news about Islam, because their ultimate goal is that everybody needs to become Muslim. And if this ever were to become an Islamic nation, which is their goal, you wouldn't want to be anything but a Muslim. Living life as a kafir, and that's what, if you are a non-Muslim, you are a kafir, an infidel, or just flat out a non-believer. But you can also be an apostate, because they believe that everyone was born a Muslim and then becomes an apostate because you go off and you become a Catholic, a Christian, or whatever. So think about that. Are you willing to give up your religion to become a Muslim and to live as a second-class citizen? Oh, but by the way, you can pay what's called the jizya, which is a tax for being a non-Muslim. So if they don't kill you for being a non-Muslim, you can agree to pay this protection tax. What a deal. What a deal. All right. Let's assume that if you're listening to conservativenationmedia.com, you're a conservative. You love America just like we do, and you don't want to get caught short in case the leftist government drops the ball and leaves the country and your family unable to get the basics of life in an emergency. Since that's the case, you're going to want a supply depot to get everything from patriotic gear to survival necessities to outfit and protect you and your family. And your pipeline to those essentials is right here at conservativenationmedia.com. Just go to our website, conservativenationmedia.com, and click on the Patriot Depot banner. That will take you to the world's best-known warehouse for all your conservative and emergency survival needs. Wave your flag and be ready for whatever the future holds starting right now. Go to conservativenationmedia.com and click on the Patriot Depot banner to join the conservative revolution where America always wins.
What does it take to be the leader in production systems technology? To be the one company that solves production problems at any plant, for any product, and with any technology? It takes a 30-year record of success. It takes total mastery of complex technologies with a history of delivering success every time, without fail. Only one company can claim that high ground in manufacturing line optimization, data automation, and systems integration, and that's Philadelphia Control Systems. In factories worldwide, Philadelphia Control Systems programs, software, and engineering solutions deliver optimal performance and output flow with a record that can't be matched. Any plant, any product, any technology. Philadelphia Control Systems, the leader in production automation since 1982. 800-335-9811, pcs4automation.com. That's PCS, the number 4, automation.com.
Hi, this is Mark Anthony for Red, recording artist, actors, and athletes against drunk driving. Music is one of the most important things in my life, but nothing is more important than life itself. So choose a designated driver. Friends don't let friends drive drunk.
How I long to hear you sing beneath the clear blue sky.
A public service message brought to you by the Ad Council, U.S. Department of Transportation, National Association of Broadcasters, and RAD.
When I have an asthma attack, I feel scared.
It's like tiny nails in the air poke my lungs.
I start to cough. Sometimes my parents have to take me to the hospital.
Today, one out of 13 children suffer from some form of asthma, accounting for nearly one-third of all emergency room visits.
I feel like I'm choking.
It's kind of like an elephant is on my chest. A little whistle sound comes out when I breathe.
But while your child may suffer from asthma, asthma doesn't have to make your child suffer. There are simple ways you can prevent your child's next attack. To learn more, log on to www.noattacks.org or call your doctor. Because even one attack is one too many.
I feel like a fish with no water.
Brought to you by the EPA, the Ad Council, and this station.
All right, welcome back to the New Wives Conservative Radio Show. I almost said daily roll call. I am Kathy Hinners. I'm the fill-in host this week for Robert Garding here on conservativenationmedia.com. If you got anything to say, call in 718-305-7176. I know somebody's got to have something to say. You know, whenever we talk about this subject, it usually makes people pull their hair out or they just want to tell me I'm crazy. So please feel free if you want to tell me I'm crazy, feel free to. You know, let's have a conversation about it. So, again, 718-305-7176. And right now we are talking about the latest of the Muslim Brotherhood forming this new organization here in this country, which happened this past week. It's called the U.S. Council of Muslim Organizations. And basically, their goals are and what they say that they have to start working on. They say here are some of the ways that the council plans to further the common cause of beneficial knowledge. Now, let me just ask you before we go any further, why on earth do I need to know all of this about somebody else's religion? You know, I'm not really that up on my own religion, let alone their religion. I don't care about their religion. You know what? You want to practice your religion? Go for it. But don't bug me. Don't force it down my throat. And that's exactly what's happening, unfortunately. All right, so anyway, here's what they say that, you know, can be beneficial to those dummies, you know, those dumbass Christians like us. Oh, gosh, I said ass. Anyway, establishing a body that identifies challenges and gives expert advice and ideas to meet them. Ooh, can't wait. Reviving, this is scary. Reviving Islamic scholarship that helps guide the American Muslim community through its text and striving, promoting Islam's core universal principles to benefit American society. Oh, clarifying the commonality of concern shared by Muslims and other Americans. Yes, and Common Core as well. And I wasn't going to get into Common Core, but now that somebody mentioned it, Common Core is not a good thing. And it does have an Islamic connection, believe me. That's where the money is. That's where the money is coming from. The Tar Foundation is helping fund this. But anyway, we'll stick to one thing at a time. Common Core drives me crazy. But anyway, so this is their goal, another goal that they have that's being fulfilled. So all they do is just check off, yep, the Americans are letting us do this, this, and this, and we're moving along fairly well. And they are. So we've got this, what I think is going to end up turning out to be a political party, another political party. And you know what? They are good at what they do. And that's all I will say about that. But the last thing that they talk about on their About Us page is that Muslims are divinely directed to help one another, to all that is righteous in the love of God. Oh, that sounds so nice. They go on to say, how are they going to do this? By coordinating the efforts of Muslim organizations to make our striving coherent and work effective. Boy, they can be long-winded too. By inspiring Muslims to give priority to the collective American Muslim community over single institutions. If you look at the document, if you look at the Muslim Brotherhood strategic goal for North America, they say the same thing. And here they are saying it on their website. By minimizing redundancy among Muslim organizations in favor of mutual participation for community-wide efforts and signature support of common issues. God almighty, what are they talking about? But when you look at it, you know what they're talking about. They're just coming together. Lord knows the Christians can't do it, or the Jews. We can't come together. When was the last time you saw a conference with Americans, just a flat-out conference, on anything to do with helping out America get any numbers? I was at a protest this morning with 50 people. The Muslims would have had 550 people there. By facilitating grassroots, issue by issue, construction of a policy platform that culminates in a national agenda for the American Muslim community. Do you see what they say? They give you so many words in one sentence, and when you start picking it apart, there's your whole ideology. By culminating in a national agenda. Now, why do the Muslims need a national agenda? They're a religion. So what do they need a national agenda for? By identifying cooperative projects across the community of American Muslim organizations based on issues of consensus. So what's important to them is all that matters. And I will say this, CARE, the Council on American Islamic Relations, if you don't know anything about CARE, you better learn. They're bragging about the record-breaking number of times that they met with Congress this year. My guess? 193 times. Can you imagine? And they're telling us they're a religion, but yet they're bragging that they've met with our Congress for 193 times. But something very interesting was said to me the other day about how they do it. How when they go in to meet our local politicians, how they do this. And it's very interesting. We usually go when we see one of our representatives, senator, congressman, or whatever, we sometimes address them with a very nice, hi, how are you, thank you for what you do. But more often than not, we have to tell them how upset we are. We have to tell them that we didn't like the way they voted on this, we don't like what they're doing, you got to do more. That's how we do it. A Muslim will walk into their office and say, how can we help you? How can the Muslim community in doing a bill that will be beneficial to us all? There's a big difference. Who do you think they're going to listen to? They're going to listen to the Muslims. Number one, because they're scared to death of them. But number two, hey, they said they're going to help. What more can you ask for? Help. Wonderful thing. Our friendly local pilot in command and GOP spokesman, Duke Brooks, calls himself a paleocon, and rightly so, since it's clear that anti-communism is in his DNA. His parents were friends with Joe McCarthy, Bill Buckley, and Whitaker Chambers. So what do you expect? There's no truth to the rumor that he has a dartboard, though, with Algier Hiss's picture on it. But you get your weekly dosage of old-school conservatism, right-wing politics, American history, and hanger-flying on Radio Free America with Duke Brooks. That's Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central, right here on conservativenationmedia.com, where America always wins, of course. And I miss Duke. Miss Duke Brooks. All right, so anyway, there's your difference. You know, the Muslims have an agenda that they are just so strong and so sure and so dedicated to make sure that this agenda is what starts occurring in this country. So remember that the next time you see one of your local politicians, instead of hammering them to death, ask them how you can help them, because that's what the Muslims do. And I think our only way to start digging ourselves out of this hole is to start mimicking what they do. They're doing something right, people. They are doing something right. At one of their CARE conventions just a couple of weeks ago, one of the CARE, I think it was CARE Michigan, within the first 10 minutes of the convention, they had raised $100,000. I don't know. I haven't been to a convention lately that raises $100,000 in the first 10 minutes or the first 10 days or the first 10 years. So they're way ahead of us. They're very patient. They are very collective. They come together for the cause, and we don't. And that's very sad. I just recently met with a woman by the name of Julie Aftab. If you don't know who Julie Aftab is, look her up. A-F-T-A-B. She's a Pakistanian young woman who was assaulted by Muslims because she's a Christian. They threw acid on her face. They made her drink it. Long story short, she was just here in Nashville. I entertained her at my house. I had her speak to a small group of people, at which time she said, Americans are quitters, and they are not. At first, I thought maybe I'd take offense to that. But when you sit and think about what she said, and here's a woman who should have quit a long time ago because she was almost dead three different times because they want to kill her, and she said that we're quitters. She is now an American citizen, and she sees from the outside in that Americans are quitters and the Muslims are not. Now, if you can't believe a 26-year-old Pakistani woman who's been just brutalized by this community, then who else do you believe? You know, she can show you her scars. She can even tell you the story about when she had surgery. The doctor was so disgustingly horrific to her, he did her surgery without anesthesia and said, hey, you know what, that guy you call God, you know, Jesus, God, if he's so great, then he'll let you get through surgery, because we're not going to give you any anesthesia. And she survived. So I guess there is somebody up there that's great. Long story short on that particular quitters, and I agree with Julie on that, we have to understand what is happening behind the scenes in this country, and really nobody is paying attention. Everybody's too busy with their lives, and I understand that. And they keep throwing more and more things at us. You know, Obamacare, diversion, everybody's losing their health care. Who can care? Who can take the time to care about the Muslims? You've got your life to think about. You've got your family. You've got your job or your lack of a job. Nobody has time to think about what's happening behind the scenes. But if we don't start paying attention to that, then none of it's going to matter. Do you realize what he's doing is called redistribution of wealth? One of the five pillars. And a lot of people will say, well, that's the religion of Islam. gee, what do you think the president is? I don't think he's a Christian, like he says he is. But anyway, we're not going to get into that. So on that note, we're going to take a quick break.
Aren't you glad the so-called fairness doctrine doesn't apply here?
Every 20 seconds, another kid drops out of school.
If we do nothing, 3.5 million kids won't receive a diploma over the next 4 years. United Way knows that kids who have a caring adult in their life are more likely to make it. And the difference between a dropout and a graduate could be you. Take the pledge to volunteer now at unitedway.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Well, we are having some technical difficulties here. It's almost like the computer has been taken over by someone here. Anyway, let's see if we can get through here. I will tell you right now that nothing is responding on my computer, that basically the mouse, someone has control of the mouse. So we'll see how far we can get with this. We don't have any trolls on here that I definitely know there's no trolls on here. This has, you know, happened before to me, but nothing of this nature. So it's kind of interesting. It's kind of interesting when you don't have control of your own mouse. So sorry about that, but let's see how far we can get further into this. Okay, another story that I wanted to talk to you about is something that happened in Virginia this past week, which actually 2 weeks ago, something really, really, really disturbing. And it leaves you with your, you know, you scratching your head a little bit, because in Virginia, the House came up with a joint resolution, and you can look this up. As a matter of fact, I suggest you look this up. Virginia House Joint Resolution 484, which passed. And basically what it was, it's commending Hamas, the terrorist organization Hamas, and their Dar al-Hijra Islamic Center in Falls Church, Virginia. Are you kidding me? They are commending Hamas for all the good work that they do. Now, I don't know if you know anything about the Dar al-Hijra Mosque in Virginia, but I can guarantee you that it is one of the most radical Muslim Brotherhood mosques in this country. So Virginia came up with this wonderful resolution, and the patrons of this particular resolution, in case you live in Virginia, you should know, Lopez, Corey, Plum, Sickles, Simmon, and Watts. Those are the heroes. So let me just read to you a little bit about what this wonderful resolution has to say. Whereas the Dar al-Hijra Islamic Center, which is a nonprofit organization in Falls Church, Virginia, celebrated 30 years of serving and uplifting members of the Northern Virginia Muslim community and conducting outreach to the region in 2013. Whereas founded in 1983, the Islamic Center traces its roots to House in Falls Church that was chosen for its proximity to the Washington, D.C. metro area and its thriving Muslim community. Construction on the facility began in 86 and opened in 91. Whereas the Dar al-Hijra Islamic Center works to strengthen the Muslim faith in the region through seminars, sermons, lectures, social activities, and clear operational hours for the observance of daily prayer, encouraging the members of the Muslim community to become productive members of society, the Dar al-Hijra Islamic Center promotes cooperation, tolerance, remember that word, tolerance, and mutual understanding among different faiths. Are you kidding me? Tolerance is not a word Muslims use. Are you kidding me? All right. let me go on. We're almost done with this. The Dar el-Hijra Islamic Center conducts outreach in the community, offering educational classes and making charitable donations to those in need. That's where they're winning. This is the clincher. The Dar el-Hijra Islamic Center is affiliated with the Muslim American Society, a national religious, cultural, charitable organization. And they forgot to put AKA Muslim Brotherhood Terrorist Organization. Let it be resolved by the House of Delegates, the Senate concurring that the General Assembly hereby commends the Dar el-Hijra Islamic Center on the occasion of its 30th anniversary. And be it resolved that the Clerk of the House of Delegates prepare a copy of this resolution for preparation to the Dar el-Hijra Islamic Center as an expression of the General Assembly's admiration for their commitment to serving Northern Virginia Muslim community and people of all faiths. Wow. That is so wrong. That is just so incredibly wrong. I mean, we're like Hamas. Thank you, Hamas. You're wonderful. We love you. You're serving the community because nobody else is. This is how they're getting in. This is how people love them. They serve the indigent. They serve the homeless, the needy, the poor. They give them health clinics. They give them food and clothing and shelter. If somebody did that to you, wouldn't you look up to them? Wouldn't you attach yourselves to their cause? This is disgusting that the state of Virginia has made a resolution commend a terrorist organization. Now, does anybody know who came out of the wonderful Dar el-Hijra Islamic Center? See any hands? Let's see. That is correct. Anwar al-Awlaki, the American al-Qaeda recruiter. Now, for those of you that don't know who Anwar is of Yemen descent, but grew up in Colorado. He was the number two al-Qaeda terrorist operative until he was droned to death. Oh, I'm so sorry to hear that. Interestingly enough, his parents are suing the United States government for killing their child who was in Yemen preparing for jihad against the United States. The same Islamic Center that the Virginia delegates decided to commend is also where Nadel Hassan had a lot of readings and a lot of correspondence with the imams from this particular mosque. Well, that was a good choice. And then the other mini terrorist that came out of that lovely Islamic Center was the crotch bomber. If everybody remembers him on Christmas Day coming into Detroit when he tried to blow up the plane. Those are just a few of the people that have been radicalized in that lovely Islamic Center. And you know, when they talk about that, it just happens to be conveniently located in close proximity to the Washington, D.C. area. Well, so of course, you always want to be close to where you're going to take over. That is sick. If you live in Virginia, you need to be outraged about this. Read up on this mosque. Read up on exactly what the Muslim American Society is, and if you don't know what Hamas is, then you need to be schooled. You need to listen to more shows. But this is what is so outrageous about, you know, the lack of knowledge that our, you know, our government officials have. I just don't get how they don't know about this stuff. But I guess when your head is in the sand, it really doesn't matter. Now, what's interesting, if you know anything about the Muslim Brotherhood and you realize that the land that the Islamic Center sits on was purchased by the North American Islamic Trust. Ooh, they're listed as one of the Friends of the Muslim Brotherhood document. Unbelievable. It's just that we just don't pay attention to these things. The Dar el-Hijra's own bylaw state shall be affiliated with the following organizations: the MAS, the NAIT, which is the North American Islamic Trust, and the number one friend of the Muslim Brotherhood, the Islamic Society of North America. Now, how is this happening? How is this happening that we are commending the Muslim Brotherhood and Hamas? Oh, wait, that's right. Eric Holder. Eric Holder will not let any lawsuits go forward that has anything to do with taking out the Muslim Brotherhood. Now, what's interesting is here in the state of Tennessee, we have what's called the Anti-Terrorism Material Support Bill. So my idea was, well, why can't we make an amendment to that to make the Muslim Brotherhood a terrorist organization within the state of Tennessee, since they did in Egypt, and since the United States as a whole won't do this? So how about we start doing it state by state? And then making any group within the state that has anything to do with any of these Muslim Brotherhood front groups, make it illegal, make it a crime. Well, we could do that in the state, except that it would never go anywhere because of Eric Holder, who's got to go. So we could go on and on and on about all the things that he has done, but we only have another hour, and I'm not so sure that we can fit it all in. So, again, pay attention to what is happening in your state. You know, there's something called the American Law for American Courts. I'm proud to say Tennessee has it. I believe Tennessee was the first one to get this particular law. But it doesn't matter. If every state doesn't adhere or reach out to its constituents to see what they want and vote these laws in, where the American Courts for American Law, or I'm sorry, the American Law for American Courts comes in handy, is this way that no Sharia can creep in. Well, I say that no Sharia can creep in. It's already crept in, but at least it makes it a little more difficult to allow Sharia to rule the courts. I don't know. Doesn't sound good. Take a look at that Virginia legislative amendment, would you please? And have somebody, if you know anybody that lives in Virginia, have them call their representatives and tell them how disgusting they are for allowing the Muslim Brotherhood to be in that state as well. Of course, I don't know of too many states that don't have the Muslim Brotherhood in them. We certainly do here in Tennessee. And I think, you know, something interesting. Someone had asked me about being the buckle of the Bible Belt, which is Tennessee in this area is called. How is this happening? Well, I don't know how this is happening in the buckle of the Bible Belt, but I'm very disappointed. I'm not sure we are the buckle of the Bible Belt after this morning's turnout and seeing that the protest was just totally ignored by a religious group. I'm not quite so sure. I don't know where all the Christians were this morning. I don't know. Well, we're going to try this again. We are going to try to take some breaks here and then come back after the second hour. But if the computer, if the mouse continues to be taken over by aliens, we'll just have to keep talking, I guess. But we're going to try this.
Wow, yeah, since the storm, it's been crazy busy for us. We got all kinds of office desks coming in. Here's a fancy one right here. It's missing a leg, but that's all right. Whatever. Washers and dryers from a laundromat. Oh, wow, check this out. Another deep fryer. And I'm not sure what this doohickey is. Yeah, most businesses weren't ready for a storm like that, you know. But our work's really piling up here at Roberts & Son Salvage.
What will become of your business after a disaster? Nearly two-thirds of businesses aren't prepared for an emergency, and 40% of businesses that experience a disaster never recover. Make an emergency plan now, before it's too late. For a free online tool that helps you develop an emergency plan to keep your business up and running should disaster strike, Visit ready.gov/business. Brought to you by the Federal Emergency Management Agency, the American Red Cross, and the Ad Council.
Hi, I'm LeVar Burton, and I'm proud to be a book person. How do I choose a book? Sometimes it's the cover, sometimes it's the title. I guess I'm pretty visual. If a book's really impressing me and the writing is really good, I will peek and see what the last paragraph is, because the endings of books should rock you. I am a book person, and if you're a book person too, read to a child and spark a lifetime of ambition. Join me at bookpeopleunite.org, because reading is fundamental. A public service announcement brought to you by Reading is Fundamental, Library of Congress, and the Ad Council.
Wow, yeah, since the storm, it's been crazy busy for us. We got all kinds of office desks coming in. Now, here's a fancy one right here. It's missing a leg, but that's all right. Whatever. Washers and dryers from a laundromat. Oh, wow, and check this out. Another deep fryer. And I'm not sure what this doohickey is. Yeah, most businesses weren't ready for a storm like that, you know. But our work's really piling up here at Roberts & Son Salvage.
What will become of your business after a disaster? Nearly two-thirds of businesses aren't prepared for an emergency. And 40% of businesses that experience a disaster never recover. Make an emergency plan now, before it's too late. For a free online tool that helps you develop an emergency plan to keep your business up and running should disaster strike, visit ready.gov/business. Brought to you by the Federal Emergency Management Agency, the American Red Cross, and the Ad Council.
West Central Indiana, one of the few states that runs its budget in the black, comes the New Wise Conservatism Radio Show. I'm Kathy Henners of Daily Roll Call to let you know that traditional Americans are still considered traitors to the Obama nation, and we are proud of our constitutional conservatism. Obama can't touch this. You're listening to Hour 2 of the show, and we are being broadcast to you through conservativenationmedia.com. And now, the voice of reason in this unreasonable world, Robert Garding. Welcome back to Hour 2 of the New Wise Conservatism Radio Show. I am not Robert Garding. I am Kathy Henners from DailyRollCall.com, and I am filling in for Robert Garding here on ConservativeNationMedia.com. Our number to call in is 718-305-7176. I will tell you that I have pretty much lost control of my mouse. This is a strange thing that is happening here. So I hope that we can continue to get through. I don't know that we're going to be able to run too many commercials. I don't know what we're going to be able to do here when the mouse has its own little mind. But the other interesting thing that it does is decreasing the screen size down to almost nothing. So it wouldn't matter if I could find the button to press anyway. So we'll see. We can see how we progress here. But again, if you don't hear me or something, you know, is a little wrong, it's because I have a little troll going on here. All right. So on the second hour, we're going to continue to talk about some of the things that have come out over the past few weeks. And something that I think a lot of people are not paying attention to is called the OIC, which is the Organization of Islamic Cooperation. If you've never heard of them, and you may not, they are basically an arm of the UN. And what they are trying to do right now, thanks to Hillary Clinton and a few others from the past, are create a law, or they have created this law, called the Defamation of Religion Law. And what that is going to entail is that anything that you speak out against regarding another religion will be criminal. And punishable, of course, by law. So the problem with that is, though, is that it isn't going to protect other religions. It is basically drawn up for Islam. So the defamation of religion law is sitting out there. It is complete. It is done. It is UN resolution 1618. And when you read the law, it's very disturbing because it all comes down to the fact that Islamophobia is rampant here in this country and they want it to stop. Well, why would they want it to stop? Because if you're speaking the truth about Islam, that's what they don't want you to know. So they haven't really figured out a way how to implement this law because we have something called the First Amendment, which they don't like. Well, they like it when they can use it, but they don't like it when you express yourself about their religion. So the document itself, the law itself, can be found online under UN Resolution 1618. And in the more detailed version of the law, it tells the people that actually participated in this roundtable. And oddly enough, two of the people that participated are both Muslim Brotherhood people that are in the White House, Rashad Hussein and Mohammed Elibiari. Mohammed Elibiari was just given a promotion, by the way, in the U.S. Department of Homeland Security. These two people had a great amount of oversight in developing this new law. It's very, very frightening. So how are they going to implement it, knowing that we do have the First Amendment, the freedom of speech and the freedom of expression? Well, they consider anything against Islam, whether you just disagree with their ideology, but it's called hate speech, hater. You get labeled hater or bigot, racist, Islamophobe, or all of the above, just because you don't agree with a doctrine. I don't hate anybody. I just don't agree with what they're doing. I'm not an Islamophobe because I'm not afraid of Islam. I'm afraid for my own country, but I'm not afraid of them. I'm not a racist because Islam's not a race, and I'm not a bigot because I just don't like anybody. No, I'm just kidding. I just don't think that it's fair that when you speak out against something that you have the truth and you have the facts, that you're considered, you know, to be one of the above. But don't disagree with Islam. Don't disagree with the Muslims, because this is where you'll end up. So the defamation of religion law was created specifically for that purpose. They say that Islamophobia is rampant in the Western world. Well, I don't know really how that is true, except that there are a lot of us out here and a lot of you that are telling the truth about Islam. You know, you, pretty much everything that you hear from me is factual. And I can always back up my sources and where I get things from. They don't want that to be out there. That's a big no-no for them. The more people that learn about Islam, the more people catch on to their ideology and their agenda. And as you know, the Muslim Brotherhood believes in a global caliphate, one religion, one set of laws, and one government. Can you kind of see that happening? Do you kind of get the feeling that this is where we're working towards? Everything is a global initiative. They want global classrooms. You know, I said the word Common Core earlier, but Common Core is common for a reason. But they go one step further. They eventually want all children to be able to go to school and maybe have a teacher from Turkey teach for the day. It would be a global initiative because, after all, they want your children to be ready for the global society. Well, I don't live in the globe. I live in the United States of America. I don't want my kid to be globally trained or instructed by somebody in Turkey or Afghanistan or anywhere else. let's have the teacher in the classroom. But this is part of, you know, we have the Common Core, which is the new standard, but you have to look a little bit further than that. You have to look behind who's doing, who's funding Common Core, and also who's writing the textbooks, who's doing the research, who's providing the information to the textbook publishers, such as Pearson, who's partially owned by Libya, by the way. And when you start looking at who some of their biggest researchers are, they're Islamists. Go figure. But that's where the money is. You know, when I talked to you about the Qatar Foundation, they are probably one of the richest nations funding Common Core. But they're not calling it Common Core yet. But it's there. The funding is there. Every state has its issue with Common Core, I'm sure. So we're not going to really get into Common Core. Maybe Robert will have me back on sometime to discuss the Islamic connection to Common Core. We can do that. But I think the next thing that I really wanted to talk to you about was CARE. And I think that CARE, if you do not know anything about CARE, I think that you need to start paying attention to CARE. CARE is the Council on American Islamic Relations, formerly known as the IAP, or the Islamic Association of Palestine, a.k.a. Hamas. The executive director of CARE is Nihad Awad, who is a supporter of Hamas. We actually have a little clip. Well, the clip isn't going to work because my mouse isn't working, but we have a clip where he actually says he was a supporter of Hamas. This is the guy that is running CARE. Now, CARE will tell you they are the largest grassroots organization here in this country to protect Muslims. Well, they are. That is true. They are one of the richest grassroots organizations in the country. They are Saudi-backed. But everything that anyone, any non-Muslim does in the United States that CARE finds offensive is sued by CARE. The list is huge. If you go to CAIR.com, C-A-I-R.com, and look at their website, you will just see article after article after article about what they're whining about today. CARE San Diego, they want the GOP women's group to drop the anti-Muslim speaker. Now, you don't want to hear it, don't go. CARE Ohio urges the Oberlin College to investigate the anti-Muslim Arabic lecture. What is anti-Muslim? Define anti-Muslim. What, agree with you? So I'm anti-Muslim. Seattle interfaith leaders to seek probe of imam's force remover from Delta Airlines. Whoa. Maybe if the guy didn't stay in the bathroom for a huge length of time, there wouldn't have been a question. I will tell you, every time I get on a plane, if there's somebody in the bathroom for like more than normal, I usually say to the stewardess, hey, that person might need help in there. They've been in there for a really long time. I'm not going to get blown up on my flight. So I sit there instead of like sleeping or reading or enjoying my flight now, I watch everybody. But CARE has a problem with that. Oh, why? Because he looked to be Muslim? Okay, if that's what you want to say, I guess. Terror plot suspect planned a mosque attack to launch an insurgency. But nobody did anything because he was white. They are whining because this guy, there wasn't a major story because he was white. Ay, ay, ay. Washington imam claims discriminatory treatment by Delta Airlines. This is all over the place. They don't like the NSA, which, you know, I guess I understand that. They didn't like John Guandolo and his training. He just did a really great training up in Culpeper, Virginia. They wanted to shut down the training because they said that John is an Islamophobe. Well, okay, I will personally tell you that I know for a fact that CARE has a hand in shutting down law enforcement training, because that is what I do for a living. I'm no longer a police officer, but I train police officers on Islamic issues, on Middle Eastern issues. They don't like this, so they're shutting the training down. And they want to do the training. You know what? They say if there's any training that has to be performed about Muslims or about, you know, Islam or about Middle Easterners, we are the only ones that can do that. Talk about giving the keys to the criminals, to the jail. I mean, do we bring in, like, mass murderers to tell people how they murder because they're the only ones that can do it? Or, you know, do we bring in pedophiles to tell you how they abuse people because, you know, they're the only ones that can talk about it? It doesn't make much sense to me. But this is why a lot of this training is not taking place any longer. It's because of CARE. I am going to try to take a commercial break, but it's not going to happen because, once again, we are having really, really bad difficulty with the computer. I'm sorry about this. All right, so we're going to talk a little bit more here. I'm sorry you're going to have to listen to me a little bit longer than usual, but we're talking about CARE. We're talking about the Council on American Islamic Relations, and how does this affect you? Well, they've been in your schools, and I will tell you that you need to pay attention to who is entering your schools to train your administrators and your staff and your faculty. There are a couple groups out there that are going into schools under the guise of diversity or bullying or training, like cultural training, when in fact it is no more than dawah. It is no more than proselytizing and indoctrination of Islam. Two of those groups are called Connecting Cultures. Connecting Cultures is out of Maryland. Connecting Cultures, the woman that founded Connecting Cultures and does a lot of the trainings, name is Luby Ishmael. She appears to be a very nice woman, and I'm sure she is a very nice woman, but her ideology is all screwed up. She actually performs the training for CARE, for sensitivity training, and I'll give you an example. Whoever CARE decides to sue, they don't always settle for money. They don't need the money. They'll do is they'll sue for to perform the company's sensitivity training from that point forward. Nike was one of those companies. Nike had created a sneaker that on the back, on the heel part of the sneaker, it had a what looked to be like a flame. You know, Nike had done a really nice job with it. Well, the Muslims decided that it looked like the symbol for Allah and decided to go after Nike. And they said, well, we won't sue you for money, but we are going to do diversity training for the rest of whenever to your employees so that they never try to create anything like that again. So now CARE does the diversity training for Nike. Well, the actual company that does that is Connecting Cultures. Disney has been sued. Abercrombie & Fitch has been sued. There are just countless numbers of businesses and entities in this country that have been sued because a Muslim was offended. Well, I'm offended every day by what the Muslims are doing. But we don't sue. This is not something that we normally do. But, however, this is what they do. So Connecting Cultures has gone into schools. They were here in the in Tennessee, in Middle Tennessee, in the Rutherford County, Tennessee, where Murfreesboro is. If you're familiar with Murfreesboro, there's a mosque controversy that is still going on there. But they entered the schools under the guise of Arab culture training. Why? There's no Arabs there. There's Muslims there, not necessarily Arabs. They went into the school and they trained the administrators and the teachers. No one knew about it. No parents were invited. Oh, the parents from the Islamic Center of Murfreesboro were invited. But that was about the extent of that. So CARE hires Connecting Cultures to do this training, and then the other one is called Diversity and Dialogue. Whoa, that sounds fairly normal. Diversity and dialogue. Yeah, I like that. Diversity. Yeah, that's the new buzzword. So, sounds good. That is also run by an apologist, actually, for Islam. And they enter the school and do the same thing, just in a little bit of a different format. So CARE is an organization that you really, really, really need to pay attention. You go on their website. You can look up just about anything you want. There's a whole page or a whole series of pages on Islamophobia, just in case you're not familiar with who the Islamophobes are in the country. They have about American Muslims, who are American Muslims. They have a whole section on Know Your Rights. Well, I guess the imam didn't read it because it's something about being an airline passenger. But anyway, talks about if federal law enforcement contacts you. Now, mind you, a few years ago, the FBI and CARE had always had a relationship, a working relationship together, so that the FBI could supposedly understand the community and work with the community. Well, then the FBI found out that basically CARE is Hamas, so they pulled away. Now they're back together, apparently, but CARE still is lambasting the FBI. And they started a campaign of, you know, not to talk. Don't snitch. Don't tell the FBI anything. Yet the FBI continues to tell them everything. CARE is a very dangerous Muslim Brotherhood organization. And there are several chapters throughout the country. There are probably a handful of states that do not have a CARE chapter. Tennessee is one of those. I'm sure that they are working very, very busily to try to get that done because Tennessee is one of the states that has probably the highest concentration of Muslim Brotherhood. Again, that goes back to being part of the Bible Belt. If you can take the Bible Belt, you can take anywhere in the country. So pay attention. Does your state have CARE chapter? Look it up. See if it does. Look at the map and see where, you know, the CARE chapters are. And then if you offend a Muslim, you can be sure that you'll be contacted by CARE. There are several different brochures that you can get from CARE. There is law enforcement. There's health providers. Did you know that even the medications that hospitals give out to patients or that doctors prescribe for patients, that a lot of Muslims are not allowed to take those pills because of the fact that they are made with some form of gel, and gel usually comes from a pork product. So Pfizer and some of the other larger named pharmaceutical companies are now being kind of strong-armed, if you will, into creating medicines that don't have pork in them. Eek. Interesting. So now the whole pharmacy world is going to have to change. But there are booklets from CARE on just about everything. Anything you want to change, anything you want to do, Know Your Rights. I found it interesting that there actually is even one for law enforcement. And actually, I was a little offended by that. Because what's interesting now, they have a deal, what they think, with law enforcement that when law enforcement has to go into a masjid or a mosque or an Islamic center, they want law enforcement to promise they're not there to collect intelligence. They want them to promise that they're not going to take down license plates or names, that they're just strictly there for the strict business that they say they're there for. Are you kidding me? Like, I'm going to tell them, you know, I'm going to, you know, kind of say, oh, I'm here to just be nice. It is what it is, folks. You know, if this is where the crimes are happening, then they need to be investigated. The CARE has also come down on the NYPD for doing their surveillance. Now, NYPD has some of the finest intelligence officers I have ever met. You don't even know where they are. They're so entrenched in communities around the world, let alone our own backyard. But CARE is forcing the NYPD to stop its surveilling program because they believe that they are being discriminated against because we have law enforcement deep inside these radical mosques to find out what they're doing. This is the way intelligence works. Sorry if you don't like it. But CARE is forcing these things to be shut down. They're forcing these investigations. And it's all because they say that we're hateful, that we don't like them. But wouldn't you think they'd want any acts of terrorism to be thwarted if it was coming out of a mosque? I mean, wouldn't you think they would be standing up for the American values that, and anything American, that we wouldn't want terrorism to occur? I mean, I know that not all Muslims are terrorists, and they point that out all the time, that, you know, we've had our crazy Christians like Timothy McVeigh, but he wasn't a Christian. CARE is an interesting organization, and I think that everybody needs to know about CARE, because they are very prevalent in this country. They're very active in this country. They're involved in the government. Remember I told you a little earlier that they had 190 visits to Congress this year. You might see, in wherever you live, you might see that they have a Muslim Capital Day, where the Muslims will go to the Capitol and will make speeches, will meet with lawmakers. Does this just sound like a religion? Why are they meeting with lawmakers? What is so special that they can only meet with lawmakers? I don't know. I never saw my church do it, so I'm not really sure why they feel the need to do this. But the whole Islamophobic movement is what is going to eventually have this law, the defamation of religion law, come out. And CARE is pressuring this government to do that. And then there's that little story, that only made certain news stations about the internet being given away to the international world. The internet that we have always controlled, the domain names, the websites, and things like that. So without having really thought it through, though, my first thought was, well, what a way to suppress speech. You can't throw the defamation of religion law at people because we have the First Amendment and there would be some serious backlash. So, let the world decide if something is anti-Muslim, and then they can react on by taking down a website or by shutting off a show or whatever the case may be. Just a thought, just something to think about that may not necessarily be it at all. Some food for thought. So CARE has a vision regarding Islamophobia, and they're just absolutely convinced that anyone and everyone who speaks out against Islam or has anything negative to say about a Muslim is an Islamophobe. They say Islamophobia is a closed-minded prejudice against or hatred of Islam and Muslims. No, I don't hate it. I don't care about it. It's a big difference. They say that Islamophobic acts are directed at Islam or Muslims in general. Anti-Muslim discrimination is directed at a specific individual, institution, or group of individuals. I don't know that any Islamophobic act, if it's a crime, it's a crime. You know, if somebody burns down a mosque, it's arson. It's not Islamophobia. An Islamophobe is an individual who holds a closed-mind view of Islam and promotes prejudice against or hatred of Muslims. Now, forgive me if I'm wrong, but I don't think that I've spewed about hating Muslims. I'm just telling you what they're doing and to wake up and pay attention to what they're doing because they're changing our society. I guess that makes me an Islamophobe. It is not appropriate to label all or even the majority of those who question Islam and Muslims as Islamophobes. Equally, it is not Islamophobic to denounce crimes committed by individual Muslims or those claiming Islam motivation for their actions. Well, well, well. So the old video didn't cause Benghazi. That's just crazy. A critical study of Islam or Muslims is not Islamophobic. Likewise, a disapproving analysis of American history and government is not anti-American. Oh, by the way, do you know they are saying that Columbus didn't necessarily discover America, that the Muslims were here first? That comes from ING, the Islamic Network Group. Go to their curriculum, and you'll see that this is something that they want to start teaching in the schools. Okay, I won't get into that. We're back to CARE. So CARE is an organization. They have a Facebook page, and that I certainly would suggest very strongly that you pay attention to who they are. They are not a typical grassroots organization. All right, so we're going to talk a little bit about what happened with CARE this week. A interesting film came out this week. It was called Honor Diaries. Excellent, excellent, excellent film about the oppression and the violence directed at women within this society. And it was to be played, I believe the first place that it was going to be played was in Michigan, at one of the universities in Michigan. And then several other universities and colleges around the country were going to host the movie Honor Diaries. Well, CARE found out about it, and CARE demanded that these universities shut down and do not show that movie. And Michigan, of course, pulled out, and so did several other colleges. And what's very disturbing about that is the fact that this is happening within the Islamic community. It is violence. It is the female genital mutilation problem that we have here in this country. It is the severe beating if they don't wear the proper clothing, if they're not modest enough. And God forbid, if it ever happens in this country where you have to wear the hijab or the burqa, if you don't do it when you go outside, if you're not with a man, if you talk to another man, if you look at another man, these are all offenses that women are suffering very greatly from within this community. And this is what it was portraying, the true violence and oppression of the Sharia. CARE does not want anyone to see this film. And CARE actually showed its true colors this week when they came out with a statement that said that they did not approve of this movie. So there were questions as to whether or not it was the content. And they said that no, it wasn't the content. In fact, it was the people that created the movie. They were Jewish. So either way, they're going to lose. If they say that they don't approve of the content, that means that they agree with the content. They agree with what the oppression and the violence towards women. Or they're going to lose because now they're saying that they didn't like who did the film. Their words were they're anti-Muslim, but they're Jewish. So either way, they're going to lose. Either it's showing the true colors that the Muslims hate the Jews or that they truly believe in Sharia. It's just crazy. So now there is a really, really big problem going around the country with this film, The Honor Diaries, and as to who is going to have the nerve to show it after CARE certainly has been, so adamant and so outspoken. And see, that also right there is the small problem. Nobody wants to be considered by anybody to be labeled as an Islamophobe, bigot, hater, a racist. So this is why a lot of these colleges or universities pulled out of this. It's easier for them to do that than to actually go forward and show the movie. I guess I want to know, when did we stir up such a fear of being labeled or called names? I mean, remember as kids, sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me? Why don't we remember that now? People are so afraid to do something because you're going to get called a name. Who cares? Who cares? But tell that to the administrators in these colleges and universities, because along with being labeled one of those names, they might lose any funding that they get from the government. There's a shocker. If you show this movie, we're going to pull your funding. You can't believe how many times I've heard about my training, the training for police. If you show them this training, you're going to lose your federal funding. Well, what police agency can afford to lose federal funding? Talk about being strong-armed. But anyway, The Honor Diaries is a very, very good film that shows really the concerns that are within the community or by these women that actually do, that are in there to tell their story. And, you know, American Muslims, this is what the statement that was made by Megyn Kelly on Monday, actually. American Muslims join people of conscience of all faiths in condemning some female genital mutilation, forced marriages, honor killings, and any other form of domestic violence or gender inequality as violations of Islamic beliefs. If anyone mistreats women, they should not seek refuge in Islam. The real concern in this case is that the producers of the film, who have a track record of promoting anti-Muslim bigotry, are hijacking a legitimate issue to push their hate-filled agenda. How is that hate-filled? That was the statement that CARE proposed because Fox News exposed what the real reason was. Very interesting. If anybody saw that, give us a call, 718-305-7176. And I will put this out there again that we have not been able to do commercial breaks. We have not really been able to do anything because of computer problems. As a matter of fact, I probably won't be able to stop talking for the next 24 days. I'll be talking. I'm just kidding. But anyway, we are having some technical difficulties. The computer will not allow me to press any buttons. Instead, every time we move to do so, it just decreases the font size of the page. We have no control. I have absolutely no control of this right now. So that is the reason why you are not hearing any news or any commercial breaks. So, in choosing to go forward with this, instead of ending the show, we just aren't able to do the commercials. So, and God knows, they might start on their own volition, who knows. But anyway, we've been talking about CARE and just exactly what they're doing. Now, another thing, when you go to my website, which is dailyrollcall.com, I have a couple different stories here about CARE. Actually, quite a few stories about CARE. But I wanted to just briefly touch base with you about what Home Depot is doing. Up in Michigan, Dearborn, Michigan, they held for their managers and employees, CARE came in and said that they needed to do training to better serve Muslim customers. As a matter of fact, let me read this to you here. The statement from CARE Michigan that came out about this on the 20th of March was the Michigan chapter of the Council on American Islamic Relations yesterday provided cultural awareness training to employees at a Home Depot store in Dearborn, Michigan. CARE Michigan Executive Director Dawood Walid and CARE Michigan Space Coordinator Warda Kalim discussed issues relating to customer interactions and modesty in Islam and highlighted religious accommodation concerns of Muslim employees. Well, if you remember in the first sentence, it said cultural awareness, but now we're talking about highlighting religious accommodations. CARE Michigan has provided similar trainings in the past to other Home Depot locations in southeastern Michigan. We welcome such opportunities to engage Home Depot and other business establishments to better serve their Muslim customers and accommodate the religious sensitivities of their Muslim employees. I'm sorry, but isn't Home Depot in the business to better serve all customers, or do I have to wear my burqa to get better service? Are you kidding me? I can't believe that Home Depot, being the large business that it is, would succumb to something like this, but they did. It further states that CARE has helped resolve a number of similar cases involving prayer in the workplace and offers a booklet called An Employer's Guide to Islamic Religious Practices to help corporate managers gain a better understanding of Islam and Muslims. Why do we need to understand the Muslims? It's like Target had a problem a while back where their employees that were Muslims said that they could not handle any pork products that people were purchasing. If they came through their line, they would not be able to ring up bacon, you know, sausage, pepperoni, anything like that. So their religion says they can't consume pork, but they have taken it to the next level and twisted that by saying they can't have anything to do with pork, so they can't touch any pork products, any alcohol, any pornography, any tobacco, anything of that nature they are not supposed to touch. So then how do you work in retail? There again, we have succumbed to another accommodation, which is very, very dangerous. If a store sells pork, you can't work in it. But my question then would be, why do so many Muslims run liquor stores, convenience stores? Because what do you sell at a convenience store? Beer, porn, lottery. Those three things are considered haram, which means not permissible, illegal, under Sharia law. So I guess I'm really stunted by the fact that they work and they own liquor stores, convenience stores. So next time you're in one of these stores, let's ask. Let's ask them, hey, Muhammad, how can you sell alcohol if it's against your religion? Curious as to what that answer would be. I just haven't been in many liquor stores lately, but I probably will ask the next time this happens. Well, think about your convenience stores. Same thing. You know, if this is against your religion, how are you doing it? How are you working in here? It's a double standard. It's okay to make the money to support the cause. It doesn't really matter if it's against the religion. So CARE is culturally training Home Depot, you know, Home Depot employees all over the country. So my thoughts on this, and this all comes from my blog called Home Depot Falls for Islamist Accommodations. I talk about cultural awareness. There's nothing cultural about this training, but rather culture is used as a guise to preach about the religion. Again, it's called dawah. So here we are once again at a crossroads that the Islamists have forced yet another demand, and once again we have fallen for it. How does Home Depot believe they need to better serve their Muslim customers? What exactly does this mean? Why do corporate managers need to understand these employees any better than their Jewish and Christian employees? In the CARE booklet titled An Employer's Guide to Islamic Religious Practices, it sets demands upon employers that are seemingly outrageous and quite discriminatory to other religions. Well, and here are a few. Friday is the day for congregational worship called Juma. The prayer generally takes place at a mosque during the noontime prayer and includes an address or a sermon and lasts for a total of 45 to 90 minutes. Remember that, 45 to 90 minutes. Performing the rituals of the pilgrimage may last 5 days during the second week of the 12th month of the lunar calendar. Oh, my God, how do you keep track of that? It's called the Hajj, by the way. However, considerable variations exist in trip arrangements, and group travel may take 10 to 21 days. Muslim employees may choose to make this pilgrimage using vacation time. Remember that. Employers may wish to modify dress code policies so that religiously mandated attire is addressed as a diversity issue. For example, many corporations have a policy forbidding the wearing of hats. This rule may be amended to exempt items such as headscarves and skullcaps called kufis. A Muslim employee should not be asked to serve or sell religiously offensive products such as alcohol. The above described accommodations are nothing more than the forcing of American institutions to comply with a law that is completely and unequivocally antithetical to our Constitution and our laws. It's called Sharia law, and the acceptance of the above demand is opening a dangerous door that will soon be unable to close. Expecting an employer, and this is where I want to go back over those few things that I said, remember. Expecting an employer to allow 45 to 90 minutes each Friday for a Muslim to leave the premises and pray should not be allowed. Even though they say the employee will make up the time, a lot of corporations don't have the ability to let them do so. Now, that's a lot of time. You know, once a week, most companies nowadays don't have full-time employees, so you're not there working 8 hours a day. If you're working 3-4 hours a day, you don't get that normal lunch break, and you certainly don't get 45 to 90 minutes. So how is that to be made up, and how is that fair? Most employees at Home Depot are part-time. So how can you give a part-time employee 10 to 21 days vacation? How does that work? I don't believe that it does. Now, maybe in a situation where they accrue their time, but a lot of businesses, a lot of organizations can't afford to let someone go for 10 to 21 days. And most times, I will tell you, it's probably the 21 days because it involves a trip to the Middle East and back. It is not just a short jaunt. So how do you modify a dress code? A hijab has the potential to be one of the biggest safety concerns an employer will ever have. Just a few years ago, a company that makes tortillas was faced with a lawsuit by CARE due to a woman wanting to wear a loose-fitting blouse and pants while operating a roller press. One can only imagine if the clothing or scarf was caught in the press. She'd be as flat as the tortilla. I mean, how do you do that? Probably the biggest scam is that Muslims can't touch certain haram or illegal products. And how is it a vast number of liquor stores and convenience stores are owned by Muslims? In a world where Christians are being slaughtered and Jews are being oppressed by Muslims, how can any American let any American corporation blatantly ignore the travesty by embracing the enemy? And that is exactly what it is. All right, so on that note, seeing that this is the New Wise Conservatism show, that is Robert Garding's show, I told him that I would certainly give his weekly thought of the day. And that's what we're going to do. As America is led further and farther into the chaos formed by the socialist left in this country, and sadly even the world seems to be falling in line, we know without a doubt that as history teaches us, this will never work. Our country is heading further into socialistic black hole from which there is no return without another American Revolution. To me, this is a sad state of affairs since we live in the greatest place to live and that this world has ever seen since the Garden of Eden. So it begs to ask, why are so many willing to work overtime to fundamentally change the best system in the world into one of the worst? Why do we do this? The answer to this is simple yet stupid in nature. We have had it so good where the rest of the world is concerned, and we have become both complacent to the dangers our attitudes bring on, and we have also become idealistic in a way that makes us believe that as humans we should never make mistakes. That is something that should never happen. But as humans, mistakes will always be part of the equation. Yet the powers that be have all decided for us that as our gods, and a mistake is now always done on purpose. And as for our complacency, we seem to take it for granted that we as a nation are safe from the dangers of the world, when the proof of the pudding tells us that terrorism is rampant all over the globe and even here in America. And folks, it is getting worse. With a liberal and progressive mindset, we are being told we are hated and our strength and what threatens our safety. What a bunch of hogswell that is. We even have now Muslim terrorist groups trying to organize a new political party to help in their attempts to take over America. And our dear leader thinks we are safe enough to slash the military budget by billions. I hope that you all realize that this is the fault of the government, that two incidents at Fort Hood happened in the first place. Who in their right minds would make it impossible for soldiers on a military base to carry weapons? This is insanity at its worst. These men and women are the best trained and most able to use the weapons that they have than almost anyone in the world, and that because of the government intervention, we are telling them that we do not trust for their own weapons. Is that stupid? Yeah, it is. Go to any other military base in the world, and there are weapons being carried everywhere. It is just another example of how the government and the media work together to keep the truth from people. You want more? Remember Vietnam? The media reported daily how many Americans were being killed, which on an average week was anywhere from 75 to 150. What the media made sure was never reported was the number of enemies killed. I'm not telling you this from reading somewhere in the news. I lived it. I was the age to go to Vietnam, and I watched the news. I heard it. Usually in a week's time, American troops would kill thousands of Viet Congs, but the media let that information die because they would not report it. It was reported, then the public could have stayed in support of the war, and the liberals would not get what they wanted. But the American public never heard that, so they turned against the war because all they heard was the number of American deaths. The left wanted to turn public opinion against the war, and they succeeded. America lost the war in Vietnam, yet never lost a battle. Another fact that was never reported. Get the picture? Today, the Obama regime is using the same media the same way with the Affordable Care Act. This week, out of the blue, so to speak, the Democrats were all orgasmic over their new poll that announced 7.1 million had signed up for Obamacare. And yet, they can't tell us how many of those people are legitimate, you know, the ones that have paid. The website was built with no back end to it, so there's no way for anyone to look to find out who has paid and who hasn't. This is just another way the government uses information that isn't complete to get the results that they want. I also think that the number they came up with this week of 7.1 million is purely fictitious, because if you think about it, a few months ago they were going nuts because there wasn't anyone joining. They did the website is just another example of the government handing the American people another lie with no way to serve up consequences of telling that lie. Accountability to the liberal left is non-existent except when it comes to Republican. And I have many instances of things that happened that prove that point. Remember Ted Kennedy in 1968 at Chappaquiddick? He drove his car with a lovely young lady in it over a bridge and upside down into a pond of water. He was drunk, driving on an unexpired driver's license, and had no insurance. He got out of the vehicle, left Miss Konopka in the car, swam to shore of the pond, and went home to sleep. He reported the incident at 9 the following morning. Tests by experts have proven that he could have saved her life if he wanted to, because research has proven that she probably lived for another 30 minutes or so, struggling to stay in the ever-diminishing air pocket until she drowned. Kennedy, with no consequences to actions that would have sent the rest of us to prison for life, with no chance for parole, served in the Senate until his death a few years ago. That night, Kennedy, instead of trying to save her, consciously turned away and went home to sleep. And even though he sentenced that pretty young woman to death with his conscious actions, he suffered no consequences. Congressman Tom Foley, a Republican, had to suffer his consequences to an accusation that he eventually admitted to, but it was far from murder like Kennedy got away with. It was nothing more than a sexual affair with a congressional page. For that horrendous action, he was forced out of the House. He was found guilty by association with the Republican Party, while Ted Kennedy was found innocent by association to two things, the Kennedy clan and the liberal mentality of Democrats. Wrong? Sure it is. But it is something that most Republicans have yet to be able to deal with, and when one or two that come along that can, like Cruz and Lee, they are labeled traitors and extremists by the GOP. It seems that everyone from the right who voices out against the Affordable Care Act or against amnesty or any other push-button causes of the left are considered traitors to this nation and extremists who must be silenced. The double standard by which the liberal left lives will continue on until they either destroy the nation or the people finally wake up and vote everyone who won't support the Constitution and the real laws of the land out of office for good. Nothing less will save this nation. So one question, folks, when are we going to learn where we are right and they are wrong? It is time to act on that and stop crumbling under their insane assaults on our intelligence. Those are the words of Robert Garding for this week's Thought of the Week. My name is Kathy Hinners from DailyRollCall.com. I thank you for listening. I thank Robert for allowing me to host his show. I hope that anything was gleaned from this. I hope that there was some information that I gave you that could be useful or maybe triggered something in your head. I appreciate the fact that you took your time to listen. I hope all of you visit DailyRollCall.com and look at some of the documents, read those documents, and understand the threat from within, the threat that is in our very own backyard. Again, I apologize for the technical difficulties that we've had, and I hope that you'll continue to listen to the New Wise Conservatism show here on Saturdays. Thanks, and have a great week, and God bless.